All right, welcome back to the Audible Post-Draft Edition. Kim Bocamper, John Congemi with you. And let me remind you, the Audible is presented by AutoNation, America's largest and most respected automotive retailer. There's up to 100,000 vehicles for you right now. Just go to AutoNation.com. Let me also remind you, you can catch the Audible every Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. on CBS 4 Miami. And you can download the podcast streaming from all your favorite streaming platforms, as well as MiamiDolphins.com. Kim Bocamper again, John Congemi with you. And John, we get through the draft. A lot of talk going into the draft. A lot of what are they going to do? Are they going to trade here or there? We got a lot of draft capital, this and there. Well, the draft rolled out and a couple surprises, but it kind of went the way you expected early on. You got a receiver. You got some offensive line help. You got a little defensive help. What'd you think about the draft and the way it laid out for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I think it was dictated by the teams ahead of the Miami Dolphins. You know, when the Atlanta Falcons pick Kyle Pitts, the tight end, to go to the Falcons. When Chase goes to Cincinnati, I think the Miami Dolphins were kind of not stuck, but they were looking at Alabama's wide receivers, and a decision had to be made if they were going to go with Smith or Waddle. And they decided to go with the more explosive Waddle, the guy that can really run and put pressure on opposing defenses. Not that Smith was a slack or a drop down by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he fit the Miami Dolphins mold of what this offense is going to become. You know, you have William Fuller that you get in free agency, and you pair him up with Waddle on the inside, and you go look at the outside with Williams and Devontae Parker. That's an imposing team, not even mentioning Mike Kosicki, that can get down the middle of the field and do the things he can do from the tight end spot. So I thought it rolled out really well, because the Dolphins started at 3, and they would have had the number one pick in the draft, barring, you know, minus the quarterbacks.
Right.
They decide to go to 12, they come back up to 6, and they get a guy that probably was targeted on their board.
And all those three receivers were bunched up real tight.
C.
So, and you got any one of them, you're going to be pretty happy. But you get a guy that, to me, one of the big aspects of Waddle is his ability to return kicks and really give you that good field position. And then, like having somebody like that, when a team scores on you, they kick to you, and all of a sudden this guy gets it down to the 40-yard line, and you go, hey, we're right back in business.
Well, not only can he change the game on special teams, but his explosiveness as a wide receiver. 11 of his 20 career touchdowns at Alabama went for 50 yards or more. It's so impressive. You can't do that on air sometimes.
Yep.
So this is a guy that can get behind coverage, and he can also catch the football and do something after that with run after catch. So I'm completely pleased. I would be smiling if I was Tua Tagovailoa throwing to this arsenal of receivers that he has at his disposal.
Right, and there are a bunch of knuckleheads at the draft party going, you know, coming for 18th pick. Najee.
Well, I was one of them.
I was the biggest cheerleader of them all. and when that passed by, you go, oh, my God. But they go out and they get Jalen Phillips. They needed an edge rusher. He's right down the road in Coral Gables. They know him really well. 15.5 tackles for loss, 8 sacks last season. To me, the only thing on him, and the thing that probably knocked him from being one of the top 5 players picked going down to 18, was his injury situation while at UCLA. Had three concussions, got into a traffic accident, had some ankle injuries, you know, recovered well, took a year off, came back to Miami, had a huge year, and here he is in Miami. And arguably one of the best edge rushers into this draft that you get for a team that really needs another edge guy now.
Well, you take a look at the way he plays. He plays at the line of scrimmage and behind the line of scrimmage. You mentioned the tackles for loss at UM. You talk about his pressures off the edge. I think he's long, he's lean, he's going to get stronger, and I think he's going to learn a lot from guys like Emmanuel Ogba and Van Ginkel and Beagle coming back to that position. So I think this is a great opportunity. I wouldn't put enormous pressure on him to perform right away. I think he's going to get some snaps, and I think his versatility, by him lining up in a two-point stance, Bo, him being able to play anywhere along that defensive line, fits right into what the defensive coordinator Josh Boyer wants to do with this defense. He wants to be unpredictable, and he wants guys to play multiple positions. That's why I think they targeted Phillips.
Yeah, I think we'll see him kind of like in that Andrew Van Ginkel role when he first came into the league, where they're kind of putting in places and see what fits best for him. And then when you find that spot,
go ahead and pull the trigger, hit it hard,
and hit it often. Javon Holland comes out after, or safety from Oregon. Free safety from Oregon. And you think, well, gee, safeties and all the defensive backs you got back there. But, you know, here's a guy that's a ball hawk. He's going to come up. He'll play in the box. He'll hit you. He does all the things you need. And it just gives another body back there to go in. You have Byron Jones from last year. I mean, you know, Bobby McCain's come back. You still got a lot of bodies back there. But, again, a versatile guy that can play in the nickel. He's played corner before. He can play free safety, and he can get up the line of scrimmage. So another guy with multiple abilities for this defense.
Versatile positions. Yep. And another guy that you said plays close to the line of scrimmage. He can play center field. As a true freshman, he had 5 interceptions. As a sophomore, he had 4, and he took one of those to the house. Now, he's an opt-out from 2020, so he should be fresh. He should be healthy and ready to go. So I would think he'd make an instant impact on special teams. I think with Eric Rowe playing primarily on the tight end and maybe closer to the line of scrimmage, I think Brandon Jones is going to get a lot of play, and he's going to learn from the second-year pro out of Texas a lot of the things that really he does well. So I think you have a complementary defensive back now that can do multiple things.
Yeah, you go up and pick up Notre Dame offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg, 6'6", big body. Maybe not the most classically played tackle in the league, but it reminds me of a guy that I played with, Eric Laxo, who you kind of looked at him and goes, geez, I don't know, but he's one of those guys, he'd bite your ankle off to keep you from from getting to his quarterback.
Right.
He's one of those kind of guys. So may not be the most classic guy, but he's a big body. He could play the right. I think there's going to be a line of guys standing up in that right tackle position when training camp opens up to try to get that job. But he can also bump down and play the guard position, and as he said, hey, if I need to, I'll play center. And like most guys say, if you need me to return punts, I'll do that too.
Yes.
You know?
I think nothing sexy about an offensive line pick, but that's exactly the way you want it.
Yep.
A guy that's consistent. He played so many games and so much experience playing at Notre Dame. And when you play at Notre Dame, it's everybody else's biggest game because you're trying to defeat the Fighting Irish. So this guy's faced multiple looks. He has good experience. And as you said, Bo, left side, right side, there's probably going to be a long line looking, take that vacancy and play. And I think you're going to have a good depth guy that you can build around with Eichenberg.
No doubt about it. And guys that can, depth with guys that can play multiples. Jesse Davis still.
Same way.
You can work him up and down the line. And Eichenberg, you can move him up and down the line. So really add depth. And maybe, who knows, maybe you get a starter out of the guy. Then you come up with a tight end, Hunter Long, which was kind of a scratch your head pick because you got Gesicki and Smythe and all these guys. and it's going to be a crowded room in there. And to me, what I've, when doing some research post-draft, you get mixed reviews. I mean, so you got some guys saying, hey, this guy could be a Pro Bowler in 3 years. Another guy's going, well, he doesn't run very well.
He doesn't block very well,
and he doesn't catch very well. But he may be all right. So I'm not quite sure what to make of it, although it's just another guy in a tight end room that's going to give them opportunities to do different things with the guys in there.
The one thing I did see from Long is that he reminds me of Rob Gronkowski in a point where you have to fight through his body to get to the football. He makes a lot of contested catches in tight quarters. That's over the middle, that's down the seam, that's off the edge of the linebacker and strong safety. So he's used to traffic and he's comfortable with traffic. Now, can he be your stalwart up front as an extension of the line of scrimmage as your blocking tight end? You cross your fingers and you hope and you can coach him up to a point where he's much better and much more efficient at blocking and being more comfortable with it. But I think he feels great about getting out and pass routes and being able to catch balls that most tight ends don't feel very comfortable doing because it's in tight quarters. He has that gene.
And you wrap it up with Larnell Coleman, 6'6", offensive tackle, was a basketball player. And the best thing about that draft was watching Flo and his boys make the pick. It was one of the great stories of the draft. And then you come up with the Jared Doakes, running back out of Cincinnati, who's not a fleet of foot guy, but he's a between the tackles power guy that's gonna try to run over people. And then when he gets through them, try to run over that defensive back and pick up some extra yards.
Both guys provide depth. Doakes in the backfield, I covered him while he was a running back at Cincinnati. He does a great job of getting to the next level and then using his speed to the outside. Very good between the tackles. And the offensive lineman from UMass, he could probably scratch your ear from here.
Yeah.
I think he has the second longest arm reach in this year's draft. So you get a guy that you can work with and develop. And that's what this football team needs to do on the offensive line. Even though you pick some sexy picks on offense and defense at the top of this draft, you have to build depth, and you have to build depth for now and in the future. And I think both of these picks do that.
Let's not forget the Zach Thomas is coming in the fifth
round.
Right. Dwight Stevenson, a Hall of Famer, second round. Bob Baumhauer, second round, Pro Bowl multiple times. So, a lot of players that have made their impact on this football team did it coming from out of the first and second round in the draft. Jason Taylor, same kind of guy. So you never know. All these guys, I always say that once they walk into training camp, it doesn't matter,
everybody's
first round,
even.
Last, you're all even. You all got the same chance to get the job done. Speaking of that, opening day, who do you think is going to be the guy that's going to get the most play on opening day out of this draft class?
I think it has to be Waddle.
Yep.
I mean, you pick him at number 6. You pick him to be an explosive. You pick him to be one of the guys that really adds to the depth and adds to the explosive plays that the Miami Dolphins were looking for last year. And the toughest, remember, Bo, 2 years ago, 5 wins. Last year, 10 wins. That toughest stretch is from 10 to 11 to 12 that gets you in the playoffs. Yep. You're adding guys that can find ways to move, make the lights work on the scoreboard because you're going to need to average in the high 20s at least to be able to compete in the National Football League and win games.
And your defense got to keep you down. Got to hold down about 20.
That's why Phillips is there.
That's right. Exactly right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But you know, there's players here that are ready to play, and some of them are ready to step. Like you said, Waddle, even if he's not your starting receiver, he's going to be returning kicks and give you good stuff. I'm not going to ask you for a grade on this because, to me, I think it's
tough. It's three years down the road.
But the reality is, and because I've done these studies before, you know, when you look at first-round picks, it's a 50-50 deal.
Yeah.
You look 3 years down the road, 50% of them are still in the league. 50% aren't in the league anymore. So it's not a sure thing. Who do you see in this draft that you think is going to be that guy that's going to make an impact and be here for one and be that 10-year guy that we're talking about going to making getting another gold jacket?
Well, you hope it's multiple guys.
Yep.
You hope it's Jalen Waddle, and you hope it's Jalen Phillips.
Yep.
Because those are the first guys that you're investing large dollars in, investing time and effort and energy to be able to make this team different than last year. How do you do that? How do you affect that? It happens at the top of the draft, it happens in the middle, and it happens at the end if you do a good job with undrafted free agents. But the top has to affect it more than the middle and the bottom because you're trying to draft players that are better or equal to guys you have on the roster. I think they did that. I think they did that with Waddle, and I think they did that with Phillips. Those guys can compete right away, and that's what you want if you're going to get from 10 to 11 to 12 wins.
Yeah. Well, it was a great draft. I think the Dolphins did themselves well. You know, everyone asked me, what do you think? I said, well, I thought they did well, but we got to find out if they can play.
Right.
It's a different thing.
You never
know until they walk into training camp. We come back. Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time podcast for the Miami Dolphins, will join us. Tell us what he thinks about the Dolphins draft. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Audible, presented by AutoNation. Time now for our sit-down, amplified by Hard Rock Hotel. And joining us now, the voice of the podcast, the Drive Time podcast, Travis Winfield. Travis, thanks for joining us. And this was your first opportunity to do a live draft party in the stadium. Last year, it was a COVID-fed draft party. Quite different this year. How's your experience?
It was phenomenal. Everything I thought it could be. You grow up watching Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah, Mike Mayock, all those guys. And to be able to get a chance to do that with you guys and have a great time and welcome these Dolphins rookies in, it was unbelievable.
You know, the nice thing about it is you get instant response from the fans. and it's one thing that you enjoy.
Whether you like it or not.
Good, bad, or indifferent, but that's all part of it. You know, the opportunity for them to come back and enjoy it was as much of the show is the stage show that was going on.
I was hoping you would get a chance to get that pick you were calling for Najee Harris. Just so the fans could have reacted with us.
Did he call for that?
Oh, he was calling for it.
I had my saddle sitting right there. I was ready to put him on the back of that horse and ride it all the way through. So let's talk a little bit about your thoughts on the Dolphins draft as you encapsulate the whole thing and what you thought of it. How'd you feel it went? And you feel what do you like and what do you kind of like? Maybe could have gone a different direction.
You know, the first thing you do when I look at the Dolphins draft picks is go and try to research what their character and work ethic and leadership and all that stuff is about. You go and you read coaches' quotes or teammates' quotes of these players, and to a man, everyone speaks highly of the way these kids prepare, the way they're wired, and the way they have a team-first mentality. So I thought that was a great job of focusing on the vision of getting a culture fit for the Dolphins, but just also the speed element and adding playmakers both offensively and defensively. Javon Holland, 9 picks in 2 years. Jalen Waddle, 20 yards per reception or more than that in his career at Alabama there. And they go out and solidify a possible offensive line position there with Liam Eichenberg as well. So I thought they checked off boxes for needs, got culture fits, and added playmakers both offensively and defensively.
You know, Travis, I thought it was interesting the way Coach Flores and Chris Greer, the general manager, talked about we're not necessarily looking for the knockout best player, but we're looking for that knockout best player that fits in what we do to make the team better. And I thought they did that with the first 2 picks. You mentioned Waddle, how explosive he is. 11 of his 20 career touchdowns go for 50 yards or more. You look at what Jalen does off the edge defensively, and I think both of those guys were need guys that make the team better.
Right.
How did you see that?
Absolutely, yeah. We came into this offseason without the benefit of having Shaq Lawson, who was traded off for Bernardrick McKinney, who checks a linebacker need, and then they come back and refill that need at the defensive end position. Jalen Waddle, like you mentioned, I think the biggest thing we talked about, and John, we did the Drive Time crossover podcast on Sunday nights last year. What do we talk about every week? Not enough explosive plays in this offense. Too many 12-play drives where you get one holding and one false start call, and all of a sudden you're behind the chains and you wind up kicking a field goal or punting the football. So I thought they went back and addressed the needs they had in that 2020 season that just came up one game short of the playoffs, and hopefully this was enough to push us over the edge.
Also, you know, the NFL has become a league of matchups.
Right.
And I think the way the Dolphins really attacked offensively, you know, you check off the box with the linemen in the third, which is great. But when you look at the wide receiving core, it's a tough matchup going against the Dolphins. Now you have Fuller on the inside along with Waddle. You have size guys on the outside with Williams and Devontae Parker. And, oh, by the way, I forgot we had Mike Kosicki at 6'6" that can go down the middle of the field. I think that presents and poses a lot of problems for opposing defenses.
Who are you going to bracket? Who on this defense, on this offense, rather, are you going to double cover? How are you going to play single high safety with Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle both running basically sub 4-3 40-yard dashes? I mean, and that it shows up on tape, too. It's not just straight line speed that doesn't translate. Both those guys, their GPS speed tracking and just the way they play on tape, it's definitely evident. So I think that, you know, the space created in the offensive, you know, passing game for Parker and Williams and Gesicki to work the middle of the field with those two speed guys outside. I think Tua he's got an arsenal of weapons there he can attack with.
3 years into the Chris Greer and Brian Flores era, and you're starting to see a picture of the teams that they like. And when you look in the draft, you look at Waddle, Phillips, Holland, Eichenberg. They can all play a bunch of positions. Defensive guys can do different things. And you look at Eichenberg, he can play guard, he can play tackle, maybe competing for that right tackle. Waddle can be inside, outside, he can be a slot guy, he's a return guy. Holland can do different things. So they've got, you know, they've been going after people that aren't pigeonholed into one thing that can fit into the type of schemes, both offensively and defensively, that the Dolphins want to show. Different looks, different times, different matchups, all those things. A lot of these players fit into that ability to do multiple things within the course of a game.
Yeah, from the blue blood programs, right? The biggest teams across college football. And versatile is definitely one of Brian Flores' favorite buzzwords. And Liam Eichenberg talked about this in his media post-draft, that he'll play center if they ask him to. And he didn't play there before, but he has played both tackle spots. And some have projected him as a guard inside because of maybe the arm length and the size and everything that he brings to the table. And then you talk about defensively, Jalen Phillips, two-point stance outside linebacker, condensed outside, play five technique, play three technique. I mean, he's playing every position across the defensive line. Javon Holland had over 800 snaps in the slot, 300 snaps as a free safety, and 300 snaps in the box. So he plays everywhere all over the defense too. Jalen Waddle, kind of a satellite option there at receiver. So yeah, versatility, definitely one of the main themes of this year's draft class.
What do you think the strategy was getting out of the fifth round? I've heard multiple national analysts talk about, well, there's two ways to look at it. One way is, Daniel Jeremiah, I remember hearing him say this, there's two ways to look at this. One is, we don't know enough about guys this year to really take a flyer on guys that we didn't get to really check out, and that's probably towards the back end of the draft. But the other side was, maybe we find somebody in the back end of the draft that really nobody knows about, and we can go ahead and identify that and feel like you have an extra pick. What did you think the Dolphins were doing as the first three rounds went by the wayside, and then they got rid of some picks as you went along?
It's kind of becoming a theme, isn't it? Last year, they trade out of the seventh round for a pick this year in the seventh round with the Seattle Seahawks and just say, we're done for the day. Also took Blake Ferguson, a long snapper. Not a traditional position you draft, but he winds up coming in here his rookie season and having a good year for the Dolphins. And then this year, you get out of that fifth round and you get a fourth round draft pick from the Steelers next year. One thing I saw, and I think this was Jeremiah commenting on this as well, was that teams were getting medical reports as late as Thursday morning and afternoon on players. And so if you only have 100 medicals and 100 picks have gone by, maybe you don't have the available information you need for some of these players on day three. So kick the can down the road. That draft pick could jump up as much as 30, 40 spots, depending on where the Steelers finish this year. So you increase the value that way. You get out of a spot where maybe you don't have the right information you want for a player on day three.
All right, big picture. What does this do for Tua Tagovailoa? That's the big thing we're all worried about.
He may still be the biggest draft pick in the last 2 years.
Yes, I mean,
because it all depends on what he does. All these other guys,
to
right?
move the bus, right?
That's
you
it.
Get
yeah.
him another weapon on the outside. I think Joe Cimino's going to have problems outfitting the entire tight end group with all the 80s he's going to have to give away. Maybe the good rule is you can wear any number now, maybe at that position. But What happens now for Tua? I know he's used to pressure. He's had it probably all of his life, but it's a good kind of pressure to have because you have athletes at your disposal.
Immediate separators. That was kind of the theme of the offseason as far as I was concerned, about finding guys that can create separation early in routes, because there was way too many instances last year where Tua hits the top of his drop and you look at you kind of pause the all 22 and guys are stuck at the sticks with coverage or double teamed or whatever it might be. So you have guys that are instantly able to create separation off the line this year with, again, going back to Waddle and Fuller, and what that does for Devontae Parker too. You're going to not have to worry about number one corners or double teaming Devontae Parker this year, so you think that it creates more opportunities for him, like you mentioned Mike Gesicki. So I think they outfitted this team to really accentuate Tua's strengths with the processing, the quick trigger, and the accuracy.
It's funny, all the trading is going on in pre-draft and draft equity, draft capital, all those types of things. You still only had 7 picks in the draft, right? You ended up with 7 picks. Seemed like you were going to come out with like 13.
Right.
So you come out with the 7 picks. Who of all the picks do you really like? And is there one of those picks in there that you go, yeah, I understand that, but maybe I might have gone somewhere else?
I think Javon Holland, the safety out of Oregon, was my favorite pick in the draft. And I'm kind of copying Brian Flores by saying that, because he even mentioned it. I'm a safeties coach by trade. I'm going to be on you, Javon. Can't wait till you get down here and work with us. But you look at what he does from a playmaking standpoint, from the versatility standpoint. We covered that stuff. But he just flies all over the football field, 4-down player, punt returner. And then as far as the draft pick that I think puzzled a lot of Dolphins fans, probably that 3rd-round pick in Hunter Long, just because of the depth of the tight end position. I think both Durham Smythe and Adam Shaheen give you good work in the running game. They can both catch a flat route or a quick dump off and turn up the sideline and get you 10 or 12 yards and move the chains. Hunter Long does a lot of that as well, but he might just be added depth this year. Maybe in 2022, when Gesicki, Smith, and Shaheen's contracts are all expired, maybe it's more of a future draft pick. But I thought that one, maybe they could have addressed a spot like running back or gone back to the offensive line or something.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good stuff. Hey, how do the fans get to listen to your podcast?
Yeah, Drive Time Podcast. We are 3 days a week in the off season, 5 days in the season. Just head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from and download and subscribe to Drive Time.
Well, Travis Pratt, it's a pleasure listening to your podcast.
Thanks, Travis.
Look forward to more of it. Always giving good information, and thank you for taking some time to join us here on the Audible.
Hey, thanks for welcoming me, fellas. It's always great to be with you.
I appreciate it. Stick around. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Audible, John. You know, it was an exciting time for us to watch the draft, but no more exciting than the guys that were getting that phone call, and we have an opportunity to look at some of the Dolphin players that got the call and the guys that made the call to them coming out of the war room.
Well, those guys getting the call, Bo, it's nothing better than to share that excitement with your family, with your friends, with your wife, with your girlfriend. You could see it immediately. We got to see a couple of those on draft night, but there's no better night of the year to hear your name called and then share it with your friends and family.
Just sheer enthusiasm from guys that have been waiting to get the NFL their entire life. Let's see what they had to say.
With the 6th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama.
We're gonna make you Miami Dolphin, all right?
We're thrilled to have you down in Miami.
We got a lot of faith and belief in you. So, when you get down here, you get right to work.
The receiver's got 3 jobs: number 1, change field position; number 2, score points; and number 3, get people out of their seats. This guy's gonna do all 3, and he's gonna do them very, very quickly.
The Miami Dolphins select Jalen Phillips, defensive end, Miami.
We're kind of holding our breath here a little bit. We got you. We're excited. Congratulations. Welcome to the Dolphins.
Yeah, he's the most talented edge rusher. He's very loose and flexible. He can bend at the top of his rush.
This guy in high school was the best athlete I've seen coming out of high school.
The new pick for the Miami Dolphins, Javon Holland.
We're going to Miami.
We enjoyed getting to know you here through the Zooms and enjoyed watching you playing.
It's got us all pumped up, so we look forward to meeting you down
here. Very happy.
Just so you know, I'm a safeties coach at heart, so I'm going to be on you pretty good.
The Miami Dolphins select Liam Eichenberg, tackle, Notre Dame.
All he does is keep his body and the defender's body away from the quarterback.
We traded up, so we're going to make you a Miami Dolphin.
Can't wait to work with you. And it all starts up front on the offensive line. I can't wait to get you here and get to work.
The Miami Dolphins select Hunter Long, tight end, Boston College.
Which means one of the more complete tight ends. In other words, you can use him in the run game. He's more than adequate as a blocker. He's got some short area quickness and a ton of catches in combat areas with traffic.
We enjoyed getting to know you and meet you and watching you work at the Senior Bowl, and we followed you and loved your
competitiveness, your toughness. Yeah. The first BC Eagle I get to add here to the Dolphins. So this is a big selection. We all know you're a tough, hard-nosed guy, typical BC guy. So excited to get you in here.
The Miami Dolphins select
Larnell Coleman, offensive tackle,
UMass.
And I thought, hey, this is a kid who could move a little bit, get upfield. And now, guess what? Brian Flores and the Dolphins and Brian Flores' kids are going to give him an opportunity.
Ready for you, and I'm excited for you. And everyone talks very good about you, and our scouts really thought you have a lot of potential here.
You know, like Chris said, you know, our scouts have a lot of good things to say about you. And you know, we're excited to have you.
The Miami Dolphins select Jared Doakes, running back, Cincinnati. Let's go, fins up!
Well, hey, we love your style, physical, tough you are. You're a good person, good competitor.
Yeah, we're excited to bring you on and get you in the mix. And hey, congratulations, bud. You earned it.
I mean, you talk about the Dolphins being a team on the rise. They've done an excellent job of just landing blue chip players.
All right, John. Well, a lot of stuff going on, and boy, I tell you, it seems like months and months and months. We talked about the draft and this scenario, that scenario, who was going to go here, who was going to go there. Didn't take long, three picks before the 49ers kind of rattled the cages on the draft and shook things up. But it's like every year, it's a fun experience, it's a good experience. And like I've said before, you know, come Sunday morning, there are 32 teams in the NFL that think they just found their way to the Super Bowl.
There's no losers. Everybody won on draft night, especially in the first round, because they feel like they targeted the player that they wanted. Yeah. And I think the Miami Dolphins did do that. You know, they played a little bit of a gambling game, moving from 3 to 12 back to 6. But I think they targeted one of the guys they had circled, and they were probably at ease because they were able to get a guy that's so explosive in Jalen Waddle, and then get an edge defender at 18 in Phillips that you can build around. You can build this franchise around guys that you feel like are going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's funny. We're having these conversations 3 years ago, and there were so many holes, both offensively and defensively. And you look now and you go, you know, there's not very many holes. You don't need that old Dutch boy to put his fingers in the dike anymore. You only need a spot here or two to really get you, as you said, from that 10-win level to 11 wins or 12 wins, and then you win one game in the playoffs. Next thing you know, you're in the AFC Championship game, and who knows from there. So I think the Dolphins, I think they did well for themselves. I think these players are going to come in and prove that they deserve to be picked where they picked and make this team a little bit better this year.
Well, the Dolphins, they're in a position, they don't have to paint the whole house now. Yeah. They just have to touch up.
Touch it up a little bit.
I think they did a very good job in the draft doing that because they targeted positions, they targeted with big schools, guys with huge experience that have been in spotlights before, and I think it's going to add to this roster.
It is no doubt going to be a great year coming forward for the Miami Dolphins, and you don't want to miss any of it. That's going to do it for the Audible. For John Congemi, I'm Kim Bocamper. Let me remind you, the Audible is presented by AutoNation, America's largest and most respected automotive retailer. 100,000 vehicles available right now for you at AutoNation.com. And you can always watch the Audible on every Saturday night, WFR Miami, CBS 4 TV, 7:30 p.m. And you can also download the apps wherever you get your platform from, Miami Dolphins, or wherever you get your favorite streaming platforms. We're there. Pick us up, and we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.